Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. Like, I forgot my own name, Anthony. And today's guest, I got Anthony Mann, founder of a social strategy that he founded in 2016. His passion is for helping businesses grow through social media marketing and advertising. Anthony, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. How are you?
Absolutely. William, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm doing fantastic. You know, middle of a pandemic right now, things getting worse, or so the news tells us. But, you know, good to be here. I'm excited for the show.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. So, Anthony, the first question I always like to ask someone like you, like yourself, were you always entrepreneurial? Was this something that you had at the age of five, or did you grow into it?
Yeah, so, you know, since I could remember, I've always, you know, been trying to hustle one way or another. It's always been inside of me. You know, I got in school, I was trying to find any way I could to make a buck. I was bartending, I was doing this, little side jobs. And, you know, coming out of school, I got right into the real estate game. So there's no bigger hustle in the real estate game, right? Like, everybody's doing what they can to make a buck in this business. And I have like I felt the real love for it. My family's been in the business for 40 years. So it's something I've always just grown up around. And I come from a family of business owners as well. So something you could kind of say is in my blood.
No, that's great. So how and why did you get into the social media marketing field? What was it? I mean, are you still doing real estate and are you doing both, or you decided that full time you're doing social media marketing?
The short answer to that is I am still a licensed agent. I only have a fully referral business at this point. Okay. There's a whole lot to that story, but no, my main focus is really on the social media advertising part of this. That business has actually pivoted once since inception. I just have a love for the real estate world, just because I've been around it for so long. So, you know, when I first started my career back in 07, unfortunately I got hit with the worst market ever, right? 07, I got a school, I got my license, and 08 rolled around. I was 7-8 months of the business. I'd sold a couple houses. I was all excited. And next thing you know, the market's down 1,000 points and the financial world fell apart. I actually remember, funny story, this actually just popped into my head. I remember showing a property in Locust Valley. It's an area on Long Island. I know you know it, but a lot of the listeners may not. And I'm in the house, and the morning of Bear Stearns had collapsed,
I think it was Lehman first, and wasn't Bear, then Bear Stearns follow, yeah, or vice versa, but yeah, definitely whatever Lehman
it was one of the two of them had just collapsed. And I remember sitting there, and it's like, you know, $1.2-1.3 million home, and you know, these people affluent buying the home in cash, and they're like, you know, this market's going to be real tough coming up. And I was like, yeah, I know. And that was like that clicking moment. Like, if people who have real money, real wood behind them are worried about where the market's going to go, I have a real problem ahead of me, because I had no book of business. I had nothing to fall back on, right? I couldn't just sit back and be like, it's fine. I'll do a couple deals. I'll get through it. So it was interesting and humbling, you know, getting started in the business.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Anthony, because I still have a full-time job, and I started my real estate business a few years ago. But in 2008, or I think it was in August, I had left my full-time job to become a real estate agent.
And perfect timing.
A couple of months later, that's it. It's gone. You know, owners, and you know this, Anthony, and pretty sure everybody else that listens to real estate shows or whatever, owners were giving deals like 1 month free rent, or they'll pay the broker's commission and all that. Yep. I mean, they were trying to do all types of deals within a couple of months after the crash because, you know, unfortunately people lost their jobs or whatever. And I'm saying to myself, my God, what a way to get into the market. I had to dip into my 403B that I had from my previous job. But my God, what timing that we had, huh?
It really was. You know, we're seeing it happen again, right? Like owners, I'm right by the New York City market, and you know, we're seeing not only prices tumble 30-40%, but we're seeing owners like, you know, 3 months free, 4 months free. It's absolutely wild what's happening right now in the real estate market. It's sad to see, you know, because obviously real estate, you know, helps so many other industries across the board. So when the real estate market tumbles, we have a real problem. But obviously the stock market has absolutely no relation to the real estate market anymore, apparently.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny because I just recently I was talking to somebody, and we've seen apartments, and you've seen it, you know, all of a sudden like $2,100 apartment now going to $1,900, $1,800. And like you said, they're offering 2 months free, so much vacancies now that I never seen this. I don't remember seeing this ever in New York City.
It's absolutely wild. About 2 or 3 years ago, I've been telling myself every year for the past 15 years or so that this is the year I'm moving to New York City for a year. Right. And so I look just just about every year for a new apartment in the city. And I looked at, the last time I looked was, I think, 3 years ago. And I found this gorgeous place. It was in Long Island City. It wasn't big by any means. It was like 800 square feet or 750 square feet. But it was like right in the middle of Long Island City. It was like the place you wanted to be. And it was above a hotel. And like the guys who developed it, like the first 50 floors are hotel, the next 30 floors are apartments. So it was all completely gorgeous. And at the time, I think they wanted like 3,500 a month, 3,400 a month. And I remember walking out being like, it's beautiful. I can imagine myself. I was like, I can't imagine spending that much money to live in 750 square feet. And so I always check on it, right? Because for me, that's a gauge of where the market's going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that property is now down to under $2,500 a month.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's prime location. It was beautiful, all high end. And it's just, it's a testament to where the market has gone and how people are fleeing major cities in a lot of different places.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there's a building on the west side in the 80s that I it's an old tenement, but I think it houses maybe 20 or 30 units. And okay. I think like one of the, I think a studio at the time was going for like 2,200. Now it's 1,900. And then I saw a one bedroom, I think it was going for 23. Now it's going for 2050. Nice. And it's the same thing like you said, I gauge it. I'm like, okay, let me see where this is at. And it's just amazing how things have fallen down.
Oh, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
So let's touch base on social marketing. With social media, there are a few major players, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For social media marketing, can we use these? Are these still viable options for us?
Yeah, so
major players, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, and you don't forget, you got the YouTube, you got the Snapchats of the world. You know, there's definitely business, even TikTok, you know, is allowing advertising now for major players. And so is it viable? Absolutely, right? So what we realized during the pandemic, and again, we've been doing this for a while, was a lot of people got scared in the beginning of the pandemic, right? Like end of March, beginning of April, I literally said to myself, I'm about to lose all my clients, right? I was like, this is a nightmare and I'm going to lose all my clients. And what wound up happening was I have not only great clients, but we had conversations about what we think we should do, or at least test before we turn anything off, right? And so what actually wound up happening was most of my clients wound up upping their ad spend during the pandemic. And the reason why was really interesting. So when the pandemic happened, obviously most businesses closed, right? Unless you were an essential worker. So everybody was at home all of a sudden, right? Everybody's on their computer, everybody's on their cell phone. And especially for the first couple months, most people really weren't working even if they were at home, right? They were collecting or doing what they had to do, but they weren't working. So they were sitting on Facebook, they were sitting on Instagram, they were sitting on YouTube. And what we found happened was that lead prices went through the floor. So we were normally getting $3, $4, $5 leads, some cases even $2 leads. We were now getting for 80% less or 70% less. Wow. So what we were doing is we were increasing our budgets and we were getting, you know, six times the amount of leads, seven times the amount of leads for not only the same, but we wanted to increase because we were like, if we can capture more people's information when we come out of this, now we really have a pipeline to build on. So we found is not only are these companies viable, but what really took us to that next level was we really realized that it's not just about generating leads anymore, right? So everybody can generate leads, right? You can throw a baseball out your window and you can hit five people who know how to generate leads on Facebook, right? The problem is not everybody knows how to follow up with them. And that's kind of where our unique position in this market is. Because I've been in the real estate world and have been around it for my entire life, I know how to get people to respond to text messaging and phone calls and emails. And so for us, what we were able to do is create a long-term strategy for our clients that when we came out of the pandemic, people were biting at the, you know, they're ready to go. They wanted to get out there. They wanted to see homes. They wanted to buy homes. You know, and going back to the New York City example, you know, these people, some of them were cooped up in a 750 square foot apartment for 3 months. They couldn't wait to get out of there, right? They were like, I got to go either rent a home or buy a home on Long Island or Westchester, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey. They wanted out. So all of a sudden, when real estate was allowed to open again, the market exploded. And because of that, the companies like that we deal with, you know, some of our clients, they had these huge pipelines ready to go of people literally chomping at the bit, ready to go and ready to buy property right now. So it was really unique. But even as we come out of this pandemic and we're going back in, or I don't even know what we're doing anymore. But you know, the most important part here is to ensure that you have not only the short term, hey, I got a text, email, and call really quickly, but you have that follow-up plan in place, because everybody's attention right now is on social media. It's where everybody spends their time. We just got through the presidential election. Everybody sits on social. They're talking about what's going on in the world. And so the easiest place to get in front of them is where they already are, right? So using social media to do that has been, you know, great for us, great for our clients. And it's something I cannot recommend doing enough. If your listeners aren't already involved, it's something that you absolutely have to get involved in very, very quickly.
No, I understand that. And thank you for that. So this is what I wanted to ask you before I forget. Your clients, are they mostly realtors, investors, brokers, does it matter who you work with? Is there a niche that you prefer?
We really have a pretty wide gambit of clients. We have everybody from, you know, individual agents to brokerages with over 100 agents in them. So we're kind of across the board. We also work with mortgage brokers in some cases. We don't work with a ton of them. They have to, you know, have a certain threshold of leads that they need to produce. Just mortgage is just a little bit of a different world. But our sweet spot tends to be with, you know, small teams, 2 to 5 person teams, even 10 person teams, or brokerages. You know, if a broker wants to come in top down and say, hey, I want to generate leads for all of my agents because they're on, you know, a 50-50 or 60-40 split. That's really our sweet spot because we can generate a ton of leads. It's just, again, it's about getting those leads to the qualification part and getting appointments set for their agents. And we, as a company, we handle all of that. So when we work with people who have slightly larger budgets, again, teams or brokerages, it allows those teams and brokerages to really grasp everything that we're doing. And because they have the budget behind them to do it, they get a huge ROI out of it.
Oh, that's great. And with investors, is it the same thing? Do you work with a lot of them? And are they looking for more for off-market deals, I'm assuming?
So it's really hard to find an off-market deal right now, right?
But yes. Tell me about it. Yeah, I agree.
But you're absolutely right. You know, like we work with a ton of investors. And so when I was in the real estate game, you know, after 2008, what happened was I realized I couldn't sell residential homes anymore, right? Yeah. So I got into the foreclosure part of this business. So I had relationships with every major bank in the country. And we were selling a couple hundred properties a year at one point. So what wound up happening from that, I got all this experience about dealing with people who had missed mortgage payments and, you know, people that, you know, might just be in an economic situation. You know, they might be out of a job or they might have a job transfer or they simply want to move out of a certain city. So the other part of what we do for investors is we find what we call motivated sellers, people who literally need to get out of their house in 2 weeks, right? They don't have time. They don't have time to put it on the market. They're willing to take a little bit of, you know, a haircut on the price, but they need to get out. You know, more important for them, it's speed. So when we work with investors, we specialize in finding them those type of clients. And those are typically found, we do some on social, but also those are hugely found on Google pay-per-click, right? Because what are you going to do if you have to sell your house next week? I'm not going to wait on Facebook for an ad to get in front of me. I'm going to go on Google and say, need to sell my house tomorrow in New York, right? So
right, yeah.
we find a lot of success in finding those investor leads on Google pay-per-click. You just have to know how to position yourself, obviously, you know, have the creative behind it, the landing pages and all that, and make it all work for you and your specific business.
No, I love that. So are we using paid marketing, or is free just as good if we're using, let's say, Facebook ads? I mean, because I get this question a lot. I'm like, well, you know, let me ask an expert. Sure. You know, because I see now, I mean, I'm pretty sure when you're on YouTube and you might be watching something, all of a sudden you see a paid advertiser that might be 30 seconds, two yep. minutes, 5 minutes. What's your suggestion on those type of marketing? So is the paid free is just as good as paid, or obviously there's a difference?
So
as I said, you get paid what you pay for.
A difference, right? So if you have a large following and you can draw eyeballs from your following, then yeah, organic is amazing, right? Because those people know you, love you, trust you. What you say, they're going to listen to. If, you know, if they know you're a real estate agent, they're going to respond when they have a house to sell or they want to buy a house. Like, you're going to be their go-to person. If you're putting out that content day in and day out and you create a following from it, that's amazing. But if you're just starting out, or even if you're just starting out on social, and when I say you're starting out on social, I'm talking about you have less than 10,000 followers, you know, you don't have really a name for yourself in the social real estate market, then paid advertising is really the only way to go, right? Because if you start a channel today on whatever social media platform you want, you can put out content all day long. If nobody knows your content's there, they're just not going to see it. So, you know, coupling organic engagement with paid advertising is really the way to go. And as you continue to grow your organic following, as you continue to put paid dollars behind it, you'll just see that much more benefit from it.
I like that. So is Facebook the way to go still for ads, or are we using YouTube? Your suggestion.
Yeah, YouTube is fantastic. I got to tell you, like the issue you have with YouTube is some people don't like to make video, right? You can't put a picture ad on YouTube. It doesn't work. So if you have,
you got to see the person you hope that, hey, I like that guy. Let me follow him, or maybe I could do business with him.
Seeing their face, you're almost having a conversation with them when it's a video, right? Like they might be telling you things, but you have an instant connection as a human being, and you're just, you know, you're drawn to that. So if you have somebody who's comfortable making video, yeah, YouTube advertising is fantastic. If you don't, yeah, I mean, there's not many places, right? There's LinkedIn. There's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's Instagram. There's not, I mean, of course there's Google too, but I don't know if you want to consider that social, but you know, that's really the only place to go. And you know, it's interesting because some states are really fighting Facebook and Instagram on social media. So like California, so one of the things we do in paid advertising is called retargeting. And what retargeting is if somebody went to my webpage or went to my lead form and they didn't fill out the information, or even if they did in some cases, sometimes you want to put another offer in front of them. And what I mean by that is if I have a house in ABC town and you know, it's a great house and whatnot, but for whatever reason, the person clicked on the pictures and they didn't like it. They didn't like the kitchen, they didn't like the bathroom, no, it wasn't enough bedrooms, whatever it was, they disappeared. Now, 2 weeks later, I get another house in that same area. I already know the people looked at this, right? So what we're gonna do is we're gonna put another ad and we're gonna use the audience from the old ad to put it back in front of them because maybe this house is right. States like California have forbid us from doing that. They simply don't collect the data anymore and you basically can't retarget in California anymore. So it's really interesting to see how the social media game is changing from the inside versus how it used to be even just a year or two ago.
Wow. So wait a minute. So is this more on the Facebook side or so California is actually trying to limit, I hate to say it, but your business?
Yeah. I mean, in most ways, yeah, they're trying to, they don't care about the cold advertising, right? Because we're basically saying, hey, I want to get in front of people who like Zillow and real estate, right? So they're fine with that, but they don't want Facebook or Instagram to track. We don't know who these people are, right? They're just numbers. But Facebook, they don't want Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all these companies to actually go ahead and track those people so I can get my new message back in front of them for a cheaper cost. They're saying, no, don't collect any data from our citizens. If they want to get in front of them, you have to do it in a cold way.
Yeah, but didn't they target you at the beginning because they saw something and then they're like, I changed my mind.
That's exactly right. They interacted with our ad, they interacted with our website, whatever it might be. And then, Facebook, California has told Facebook you can no longer, in short, you can no longer retarget in California. The data is just not there, doesn't work anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're trying to, you know, you have a business and people obviously want to work with you and they're looking for, you know, any type of ad or any, obviously, leads.
Right.
So how about email marketing? Is that any... what do you think about email marketing?
Email will always have a place, right? Like email is great for a lot of things. The problem with email is it's saturated, right? Like there's how many emails you get a day? I probably get an excess of 400 or 500 emails a day, right? Yeah. I can't possibly read them all even if I wanted to. Most of them are crap anyway. But with that said, unfortunately, when you use email marketing, and a lot of times you get lost in the shuffle, right? I got a call for 2 hours. Next thing you know, I just go back to my inbox for 30 seconds. I skim the last 10, 20 emails I got. And I'm moving on from it, right? So I wouldn't say it's dead. Has the powerful aspect of it gone down significantly? 100%, right? We used to get 25, 30% open rates. We hover between 15 and 20% now. We used to get 8-9% click-through rates. We have 2-3% click-through rates now. So is it still work? Yeah. Does it work nearly as well? Absolutely not, which is why most of what we do has taken the form of text messaging today. Right? Text messaging is what email was 10 years ago. And so if you could put a good text message plan together, that's how you get in front of people, right? Like people look at their phones, when you get a text message, if you know who it is, you're going to read that text message, right?
That's true. So, yeah, you're right.
You know, you might ignore it, but you're definitely going to read it. So a lot of what we've done is kind of flip the script and say, you know what, email has a place and we'll send emails out, but we focus on the text messaging and mixing in some calls into that as well.
Yeah, because I noticed too, you know, let's say I look at Zillow and I'm looking at some properties in Florida or wherever, and some of these people, you know, they'll put their phone numbers, but they'll say either email or text. And some of them even prefer just text.
Yep.
You know, they prefer text. They're like, nah, you know what, don't send me email. And you're right though, Anthony, because sometimes I get maybe 20, 30 emails a day or maybe even more. And I say like 90% of them are just junk. And I just, you know, go to the box and just delete. You know,
I do like every 2 weeks, like select all and then mark all this.
Yeah, definitely. So, So for a beginner or somebody that wants to work with you, what platform would you suggest them use at the beginning?
Yeah, so
especially if they don't have, you know, the social media present, or they're, you know, like I said, their new agent, or even a new investor.
Yeah, so the three platforms that we start with just about everybody are Facebook, Instagram, and Google Pay-Per-Click. Okay. And the reason behind that is they're the most direct in who we can get in front of. They're the easiest to set up and maintain. And so as you continue to grow your paid advertising, then we typically move you into YouTube. But again, it takes a unique agent for that, right? Not every agent or broker or team or, you know, mortgage professional wants to get on video. So without video, that's kind of off to the side anyway. So we never start with YouTube. We always start with Facebook, Instagram, and Google. And that's going to be the easiest way to get started in this. And if you're an agent who has a limited budget, you know, Facebook, Instagram is going to be the easiest way to get your foot in the door. Google definitely costs a little bit more. It's going to be a little bit higher intent, especially for seller leads. It'll be significantly more intent, but it's also going to cost significantly more, right? Where you could spend the same $500 a month on Google, you might only get 10 or 15 leads. On Facebook, you might be able to generate yourself, you know, 100, 200 leads out of that same budget. So depending on where you're at and what you're looking to do, it really depends on the strategy that I would recommend for you.
Now, you know, sometimes like when I post my podcast or an article on Facebook, it says you could reach 800 people, I think a dollar two a day or something. I don't know. So tell me more about that, because I, you know, obviously you're not a fan of that.
So there's two parts to Facebook, Instagram advertising. There's actual ads manager, and then there's what they call boosting posts, which is what you're talking
That's
about.
That's what it is. Yes. Boosting posts.
Boost your post for $30. You could reach 9,000 people, right?
Right.
The problem with boosting your post is you're basically telling Facebook, don't show my content to people unless I pay for it. Okay. So it's catch 22, right? You want to get your content in front of people, and Facebook wants you to pay for it. So they're basically saying to you, hey, you want us to show it to people? Pay us for it. But if you have a good organic following and you have people that are interacting with your podcast and your blogs and all this stuff that you're posting on your, you know, Facebook business page, then you're going to be okay. You don't need to use the boost. What I would do if you were going to do anything is go into the ads manager. You're going to create what's called an engagement ad. Okay. And what you'll do is you'll take the same post that you had, and you're going to actually use that post ID to create an engagement ad for likes, comments, and shares. Okay. Those work really, really well. You can use that same budget, you know, $50 for a week or $80 for a week, whatever they recommended. And you'll probably get in front of significantly more people. And the nice part about doing that way is you'll also get a lot of engagement on that. The more engagement you get on your content, the more Facebook is going to show it to people. So the whole idea here would be is you don't really care how many people see it. You care how many people actually interact with it. And that's the real difference.
Wow, engagement ads. I never even heard of that. Thank you for that tip. So is our website important? Do we need a – I heard the other day that you got to have a WordPress site that – and I'm sorry, Wix and Squarespace, you know, I'm hearing, you know, not so good things about you guys because they don't have, let's say, the wherewithal to have the type of SEO search. Is that – what you heard, or what do you think about a WordPress site?
So we design WordPress sites for our clients if they want them.
Okay.
Really simple, easy to use, and they have a ton of functionality. So like you can build out a lot. There's a ton of plugins on a WordPress site, right? So if you want to install the Facebook Pixel, you don't have to worry about where do I put it in here. You download the Facebook Pixel plugin and you put it in, right? So there's little things that will make your life really easy with WordPress. The problem with WordPress is that you got to kind of know what you're doing to create a site that's actually workable for a consumer, right? So like a lot of us fall into this, like, I'm going to make this website for me, right? But at the end of the day, it's not for you, it's for the consumer. So the best thing I can say to you is don't necessarily worry about building your own site. If you can't afford it right now, that's okay. You don't need a website from day one, this and that. I'd almost rather see people take the time, build their business a little bit, and then get a site that's managed for them. You know, there's tons of companies out there. I'm not going to name them. We have partnerships with a bunch of companies, but it's better off to go to a real estate website company that does this for a living, right? They're going to get your SEO to the top. They're going to get all your pages working really fast for people. Your mobile is going to be perfect. Your IDX is going to be perfect. Everything that you would want out of building your site is going to work so much better if you go to one of these companies. And the reason why I say, like, don't really worry about doing it yourself. Yes. Is it cheaper? 1,000 times cheaper. Absolutely. But the amount of hours that you're going to spend putting this site together is going to be an absolute mess.
I could attest to that. I did my site for my real estate, and I was going nuts because it was, you know, it's not, people say, oh, you could do it yourself. I agree. I'd rather have someone do it for me than knows what they're doing and all that.
And so, there's companies all across the gamut, right? You can get the $39 a month company, or you can go to the $5,000 company, you know, upfront plus the $500 a month hosting. And depending on where you are in your business, you'll find a place that, you know, you can find a great website in.
Yeah. And how about keywords? Do we need to always put keywords in our ads, or if we post something on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, our keywords important, or?
Yeah, so keywords are kind of important, especially when it comes to paid ads. So
like in Google pay-per-click.
Yeah. So it's okay. Google pay-per-click. We're doing a ton of keywords in there, but also like on your paid ads, you want to make sure that you're using terms that are familiar to the people in your area. Right. So for instance, we have a client right now out in the California market, and he's in the LA market. And so we're targeting very specific cities in that market. Okay. So what we do is in our ads, we literally call out the specific cities. And what Facebook does is their algorithm actually reads the context of your ad, the copy of your ad rather, and it knows who to put that in front of based on what you say in your ad. So for instance, if you're a motivated seller, right? And let's say you're motivated because you got, you know, you're out of a job because of COVID-19, right? So in our ads we do to certain areas, we'll say, are you out of a job due to COVID-19? You'd be surprised how much data Facebook, Google, and all these companies have on people, right? So when you say stuff like that, Facebook or Instagram or Google will read that, say out of a job for COVID-19, and put it in front of people who are out of a job because of COVID-19. Wow. So a lot of people overthink the targeting part of it, right? Like, oh, I got to drill it down to Zillow and Realtor.com and people who want mortgage loans and real estate and yada, and they go through all this stuff. You're better off going more, you're going broad to 500,000 person audiences and using your copy to really make a difference in what you're advertising to.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's funny though, Anthony, because you know, you learn as you go. Especially with, you know, using keywords or phrases or having a blog. Yep. And one more thing before I let you go, blogging, does that help at all in terms of keywords or searchability? 100%.
Okay. Yeah, blogging is fantastic. If you have the time to blog, absolutely do it. Most people have moved to video blogs today. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing people doing like a conversation like we're having right now. Yeah. They'll pop that on their site and then they have somebody transcribe the conversation, right? So not only are you getting the benefit of having a video, somebody doesn't have to sit there and read it, but also if they want to sit there and read it, they can actually go ahead and read the transcription of what was there. So we're seeing a lot of that. And yes, that has a huge amount to do with SEO. Google does read those things. So if someone's typing for stuff that you were talking about, it will show up in search results in a short amount of time.
Is there a limit or a minimum of words that somebody told me one time, you got to have at least 500 words to be somewhat searchable. Is that true?
I don't know what the number is. 500 seems high to me. I would think it's probably,
me too, yeah.
I would think it's probably more in like the 200 to 300 range. 300 words is probably like, you know, 2 pages, I would think.
Yeah.
It's a pretty decent size, you know, article. 500 words seems excessive. And they might've been talking about to really get, you know, the maximum amount out of your keywords, and maybe they're getting a little technical with it. Yeah. But I think 500 might be, you know, that's a lot of time writing a 500.
I agree. You're going to have to go back and forth to make sure that sentences make sense.
Oh my God.
I like the 200 to 300 words. Yeah.
I could be wrong with that. Like, that's not necessarily my expertise, but right. 500 seems really, really high.
Well, listen, Anthony, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. Before I let you go, any books you would like to recommend?
Yeah, so I have three.
And you know you have a book in you. You know you have to write your own book.
I've heard that before. I'd love to do it one day. Maybe if I ever sell the company one day, we'll see.
You write your memoirs?
Yeah. So one of my favorite books of all time is The Secret. I read that back in 2009. Just if you haven't read it, it's just a great book about the way you think and the way things happen around you. And then I had two books.
The Secret?
Yeah, The Secret.
Is that the one with Jack Canfield and am I talking about?
No, different book. Different book. So this is just about the power of your mind and how when you think about certain things, you can manifest them in life. It goes back to little vision boards and yeah, I'm not going to bore everybody with the details.
Right.
But very, very cool book. Kind of opened my eyes and there's some things in the book they tell you, hey, do this next time to kind of prove it. And some of the things kind of work and they're kind of cool. So I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But then I have two books by Oren Clapp, Pitch Anything and Flip the Script. So if you're in any sort of sales which obviously everybody listening to this podcast is, two amazing books to really have a conversation with anybody, whether you're selling them or they're selling you, which is really, really cool to be able to kind of understand the psychology behind sales.
I love that. So we got The Secret, Pitch Anything, and Flip the Script. Did I get that one right?
Yep.
Well, that's great. Well, Anthony, if somebody wanted to reach you, what's the best way?
Yeah, so two ways to reach me. You can either go to our website, and I'm going to give you our Zero Retainer website. So we have a really unique business that, you know, if you're a real estate agent or a team leader broker, you've probably heard tons of marketing companies say, hey, you know, pay us an upfront fee, pay us a monthly fee as a retainer and yada, yada, yada. So we don't work like that as a company. We charge absolutely $0 per month as a retainer. So our website is zeroretainer.com. The other way to reach me is through Facebook. My name is Anthony Mann, M-A-N-N. You go to facebook.com/AnthonyMann85 and feel free to reach out to me. You can message me. Otherwise, if you go to zeroretainer.com, you can put an appointment right in our calendar. I'm glad to walk anybody through any of the stuff that we talked about today.
No, that sounds good. Well, Anthony, again, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. And I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
No, my pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Well, everyone, that was Anthony Mann, and you can find them at asocialstrategy.com. That's asocialstrategy.com. Anthony, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer, the number two, peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows. Check out our blog. Check out our new website. We finally updated. Also, if you guys go to Apple Podcasts, please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And a couple of more things, guys, before I go. Please do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm William Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.